Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Yeah, I've been watching, and I've been waiting for the light to my right to say we are on air. Because I love the great responsibility and the honor to be here talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us on this transmission. It is the 20th day of September 2012 on this Thursday edition. Now, yesterday we had Gerald Celente on the broadcast. And so many people have emailed my office and called my office, and I've seen the comments. It's something like 300,000 views just on one version of the video. There's a bunch of other versions, over a million views, of an interview I did last week with Gerald Celente on InfoWars Nightly News. Now, it's an hour and 7 minutes long. And on the news, I have the luxury of doing it commercial-free because PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber. Though a lot of cable systems and British television, they download the shows each day and then kind of edit them together and put little special vignettes out. Well, an example, once a week on mainline British Sky television, they have a two-hour special with the show. So it's getting out there. But for people watching PrisonPlanet.tv, you saw the hour and seven-minute interview. And folks are saying there's something special about this interview, probably because in the first half of it, I held my tongue. And I got important points to make. I've got an intellect that has some interesting observations. But Gerald is such a informative person when he just rolls with the information. And I think my energy adds to his energy and vice versa. So I thought I would air this here today. So when we come back from break, we're going to air. It'll take about an hour and a half with radio because you've got commercials to go through all of this here. And he covers it all, the engineered financial collapse, the tyranny, but also ways to combat and stand against this. So it's a very important interview and undoubtedly the most powerful I've ever done with Gerald Celente. So please tell your friends and family to tune in right now, whether you're listening on the local AM and FM dial or whether you are tuning in on XM channel 166. Or whether you are listening on the internet at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, an hour and a half of Gerald Celente coming up. And then we're going to premiere here on air two reports that I combined. Aaron Dykes, our investigative journalist par excellent, has been traveling around Austin, Texas with the Rockefeller Foundation, the UN, and the Department of Health and Human Services, HUD, and others have been actively coming in with the big toll road companies and shelling at town meetings the public. And they have a notice there at these meetings that if you come to this meeting, you agree to Agenda 21, basically. You agree to everything that's happening. So they have the video of it. And if you're a radio listener, we'll obviously have these videos posted up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com so you can see what we're talking about and kind of follow along with the radio show. You can even do it, you know, after the fact if you're listening now. So that's coming up. Aaron Dykes' investigative report out there, along with our reporter Melissa Melton, who's new to the team but is just annihilating the enemy when it comes to exposing their activities. She got an interview with the Rockefeller Foundation funded, globalist funded, we have all the documents, professor at the University of Texas who calls his class Agenda 21 and sustainability, but it's called Agenda 21. And then he spins it and says, well, yeah, but all this is zoning and planning. Well, yeah, you could call anything zoning and planning, but it's global governance zoning and planning to pick winners and losers and to shut down our once free society. It's feudalism, it's serfdom. So that's coming up. I'm telling you, I'm very proud of this investigative report. That's in an hour and a half. You do not want to miss it. Stay with us.
From
the front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
Okay, my friends, we are back, and this interview I did on InfoWars Nightly News last week is so powerful and has had such a big effect on the internet that I thought that our radio listeners on XM 166 and AM and FM stations across the country, and plus those listening to the audio streams on the internet, that you deserve to hear and see what people over at PrisonPlanet.tv are able to watch. So here is the audio of this amazing interview with Gerald Celente. We're going to be interspersing a lot of really big news with the one, the only, Gerald Celente, the top trends forecaster. We're going to be looking at Obama appeals against court ruling that strikes down the NDAA Constitution killing system. Even though he says he's against the NDAA, he helped write it and then pushed for its passage and then signed it, but he's still against it. We're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at the takeover by the federal government of the cybersecurity and the internet. We now have a leak, confirmed leak of the executive order by Obama being passed around to media heads, the total takeover of the web. Folks, this is a serious tyranny we're entering. Now, Gerald Celente, of course, has had many best-selling books. He's predicted many of the things that have unfolded. You can find out more about his Trends Journal on the website we're going to be giving you here in a moment. But he has been calling the Tea Party before it materialized, the collapse of the euro, the riots in Europe, years and years before. And he said a year and a half ago, he said, when Bernanke says he's not going to have QE3, you watch, they've got to do it because we'll implode if they don't, and we'll have inflation and maybe hyperinflation if they do. And so that is the path that central banks always take. And remember, they promised no QE3. Then they said, okay, you're demanding it maybe a little. Now they've said QE unlimited. And we have our article here at InfoWars.com today that I wrote, new banker bailout disguised as QE3. $85 billion. The media is saying $40 billion. That's just part of it. $40 billion a month to go buy private derivatives from the banks. So it's really a banker bailout, a direct tax. But total, it's $85 billion a month. And we have the press release from the private Federal Reserve. And he's going to break down exactly what this means, the mechanics of it, and what it's really doing, and how it ties into the whole LIBOR scandal and how these banks are all working in concert. And then we're going to pick his brain about, now that he's been accurate in predicting this when they promised they wouldn't, what the aftermath will mean and what the time frame is. Max Keiser, who's also got a really good head on his shoulders and worked with George Soros' son as a top stockbroker, he has said something I've never heard him say. He said by next April, there will be a giant total collapse. Whatever that means, he's on next week to break it down. But that's my word on this. We're going to get Gerald Celente's take on it all, the head of the Trends Research Institute. Gerald, thank you for joining us on short notice. Wow, you've got the floor. Tell us what this means, and do you agree with my analysis that it's just another transfer of wealth to the kleptocrats?
You nailed it, Alex, in your introduction. This is nothing more than a bailout, another bailout to the too bigs to fail. That's where all the money is going. It's the same scheme around the world. They make it appear, you read the headlines, And here's the phony headlines. You ready for this one? This is coming from the Wall Street Journal. Fed acts to fix jobs market. Isn't that nice? They're going to fix the jobs market. Oh yeah, just like they fixed it before. How much did they pump into the system? Well, depending on whose numbers you're looking at, when you go back to 2008, beginning, of course, with the Bush programs, with TARP, we're talking about $23 trillion. Oh, and what's the job market doing? Son of a gun. Didn't Obama say when he pushed through the stimulus in 2009 that by 2010, we're going to see 7.2% unemployment? And it's going to go down from there. Hey, what are we at? 8.1. And why is it only 8.1? Because they don't add the people that drop out. So as you know, well know, when you look at people like a John Williams shadow stats, we're looking at 22%. And just before I get back into the QE endless, the reason why this depression looks different than the other one is that you don't see people lining up on the streets in bread lines because they have a new scam. It's called food stamps. That's right. Give them food stamps, shut them up, and get them out of the movie. And that's why people can't see the real pain. So when we're looking at this quantitative easing scheme, we have to understand that when they talk about a global economy, it is indeed a global economy in every sense. I have been saying for the last several months that I would put my reputation on the line that Bernanke was going to push through quantitative easing before Election Day. You don't have to be a trend forecaster to figure this one out. All you have to do is look back a little bit. Alan Greenspan did the same thing for George Bush the First, but he did it a little too late. And then Clinton squeaked in, and also because Perot grabbed 19% of the vote away from Bush. So they do it all the time. It's the criminal operation. And you made it 100% clear. The money is only going to the Goldman Sachs gang, the Merrill Lynch mob, the J.P. Morgan Chase criminals. You know, all of those guys out there that have been fined in the tens or not hundreds of millions of dollars for doing their dirty deals and then never having to admit nor deny that we did any wrongdoing. And the wonderful Obama that all the liberals love under his attorney general Holder, who used to work for one of the premier white-collar crime syndicate law firms, they haven't brought anybody up on charges. So now you go overseas. This past week on Wednesday, the German Supreme Court. You have to put a photo of the German Supreme Court up, Alex. These little cats in these red little uniforms with these cute little red hats. These little wimpy SOBs. They just violated the German Constitution. 38,000 Germans had signed on to this. That to find the European Stability Mechanism, which is white shoe boy language, to steal the money from the taxpayers, deposit it directly into the banks, and give it to the hedge funds, the brokerages, the investors, and the bankers that made bad bets at the tune of 700 billion euros and pay back all the bad bets they made. But because you're a member of the white shoe boy club, we're going to give you interest. So they violated their constitution. They even admitted they did it for economic purposes. And then on September 5th, as I was saying, Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank. For those who don't know who Mario Draghi is, he was the vice chairman of the Goldman Sachs gang European division. Yes, the Goldman Sachs gang that cooked the books to bring the Greeks into the Eurozone. That Mario Draghi. He announced, just like this, you said this endless QE, he announced they're going to buy up all of those worthless Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, Irish, Greek bonds, nonstop. All we're seeing here, and you could throw China into this loop as well, it's all connected. They are printing nonstop counterfeit digital money to give to their pals in the banks and the hedge funds so they could keep the scam going.
All right,
I'm not making this up.
No. I mean, you're not there, Gerald. And just to interject the magnitude of this, I played the clip on the radio today. Ron Paul on television said we should, quote, be panicking right now, but instead we have this mass Stockholm syndrome or this learned helplessness. I guess the word could be normalcy bias. Quote, country should be in panic over Fed's decision. Zero hedge. Infowars.com. He said that one on CNN. And Ron Paul's never talked like that. The fact that they're not just doing QE3, but it's unlimited looting. And then it comes as inflation for the general public. It devalues the purchasing power. They're buying 1.4 billion bullets, giant black armored vehicles, checkpoints. The military's preparing for civil unrest worldwide. And I saw what you're talking about. Barroso over in the EU, he said, hey, we need a total federal state run by the banks over these countries. So they're capturing us by getting our governments that are their operatives to sign on to their fraudulent paper. Then they have their prostitute media, the term you coined, tell us that it's our debt. And then they're raising taxes to pay it to them. My God, they're going to go all the way here, Gerald. So that's my question to you. Why? How do they think they're going to get away with this? Because when they say unlimited and they're going to buy all the derivatives that these criminals created and spend $85 billion a month just here in the U.S. giving it to them, I mean, what's next? Are they going to demand our daughters?
Yeah. It's one banking syndicate. It's what Rothschild had said. They would make it so complicated that people wouldn't understand it until they lost everything, essentially, and were put under the control of one bank.
You could accept the fact that this city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Here, this is a quote. Now, this isn't a left-wing, subversive newspaper. This is the front page story last week out of the Financial Times. The Financial Times. Here's the headline. Draghi helps out Obama campaign. Barack Obama's chance of re-election as U.S. president rose on Thursday, and the words that did it were not his, but Mario Draghi's. Long before Mr. Obama stood up to accept the Democratic nomination in Charlotte, North Carolina, the head of the European Central Bank had sketched out a new plan to buy the bonds of the troubled Eurozone countries. That will not move the polls. It will not move a single vote. But Mr. Draghi has lowered the gravest of risks to Mr. Obama's pre-election meltdown fear of the pre-election meltdown fear of the Eurozone that would have blown up banks, pulverized Wall Street, and routed a fragile U.S. economy back into recession. They all know what the deal is. It's right here in black and white. It's from the Financial Times. They know that the system is collapsing. They're going to do everything they can to prop it up, and they're doing it. What does it mean? Not only inflation, and again, you know, I do trends in the news features as part of the subscription to the Trends Journal each day. Last week, I announced on Trends in the News I was buying gold again. I had forecasted that gold prices would begin to spike. They've gone up probably about $80, $90 since I said that. Again, you can see where this is going. They're printing this counterfeit money, this digital money, not worth the paper it's not printed on, devaluing everything else, forcing commodity prices higher. And here's the one that no one ever talks about anymore, hardly. In the old days, when I was a young boy, they used to have a thing that they used to promote in this country that made it seem like it was a good thing to do for wise people. Savings. Oh, you remember that quaint word, savings. You work and you put a little money away. You work and you put a little money away. And you put it in the banks. And you know what they would do with it? They would give you interest on it. Yes. Back in the old days, you would put money in the bank and they would give you interest on it. Interest that would be ahead of inflation most of the times. Now what do? They give you nothing. They take your money. They hardly give you any interest rates. And you know why? Because America's public enemy number one, Osama bin Bernanke, has pledged and has kept doing the same dirty deal, keeping interest rates near zero. They say they're going to keep them near zero or at zero until 2015. That means everybody out there that used to, especially the elderly, that used to put money away and build a nest egg, they got a goose egg. They got zip, nada, nothing. And what they're also doing by doing this is they're forcing people that do want to get a little return on their money to play their criminal operation games like investing in the stock market.
And let me stop you. Let me stop you right there. And then Gerald Celente, who's been in gold for 30 plus years and very successful, you have a private account in another company. MF Global comes along, takes control of it, takes your six figures, doesn't give it back. Corzine, who advises the president, former head of the same gang, Goldman Sachs, U.S., he's the Don of this area. He sits there and says, I didn't know about it. It comes out he did know about it. And they just announced last week they're not going to do anything to him.
We'll be right back with more of this powerful interview with Gerald Celente right here on The Alex Jones Show.
So that's my question. The signal has been sent that they can rob anything. They are taking general police, turning them into SWAT teams. They are openly preparing to arrest people and put them in re-education camps. So I guess it is confirmed, like you're issued last quarter. Next train to Auschwitz, they are going the pure tyranny route. But here's the question. Break down from your great acumen and gravitas and looking into the future on this, but now it's becoming pretty clear. I mean, you were getting called pessimist porn 4 years ago in the New York Times. Now here it is. They're going to keep telling everybody everything's wonderful while they dig in, while they move offshore, while they get armed guards. But clearly people are losing confidence in the system. So what are they planning to do? How bad will it get? What's the time frame?
All right. What they're planning to do is making headline news. It was 9/11, 11 years later. With what's going, I've said this in the beginning, when they first started talking about recovery, we did a trend alert on it back in 2008 and 2009.
You said when the economy goes down, they go to war.
You got it. No recovery cover-up, and they're going to take us to war when all else fails. Can't you hear the war drums beating? And that's what they're going to do. Look at the headlines today. What was it? University of North Dakota, Texas, Valparaiso, the fear and hysteria are already vibrating through the media. Go back, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I'll never forget back in August of 2011, You go back and you look at George W. Bush's popularity rating right after he got elected. You look at how many people were so disgusted with him. And then you look how it changed after 9/11. They're doing the same thing now. They're taking us to war. And as you well know, that war drum, you think it goes away, and then it keeps coming back with Israel talking about attacking Iran. And then you look at the news today. Alex, how many? And by the way, this has nothing to do with that movie about, you know, Muhammad. That's like saying that World War I began, little boys and girls, when the Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated at Sarajevo. This movie is only one match in a matchbox of volatile situations that's going to like.
Well, let's use a World War II analogy. I mean, all the forces are lining up. It's being prepared. They've sent the fleets to menace the Chinese to keep, you know, investing and going along with the white shoe boys have. They're encircling Russia. They've got proxy wars using Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria. The Russians have pointed it out. I'm not siding with the Russians, but they're not the ones looting my country. And the white shoe boys really think they're going to push Russia and now even China around. These are guys that make 40-to-1 bets and then just take your bank account. So, I mean, I have to look at this and say, as Ron Paul said, we better panic. I agree with you. They are definitely
panic. This is real. This is real. Pick up the papers. Look at your site. Look at all of them. Tunisia, Yemen, Sudan, Somalia, Algeria, Bangladesh, Lebanon. Name the country. I mean, you could see it right in front of everybody's face. It is all exploding in front of us.
And now the CIA-produced video showing, you know, Muhammad the prophet murdering women and stuff, you know, with horses. I mean, just designed to incite radical elements. I mean, this is order out of chaos. This is insanity.
And here's the reality, as I see it. You know, I talk about buying gold and investing and this and that. If the United States or Israel goes to war with Iran, I've said this many times, those things aren't going to be worth anything because life is going to be so miserable. You know how they say generals keep fighting the last war? There's a reason for it, because they can't win the one they're fighting and they have no clue on how to fight the next one. This is going to be a very different war. This is going to be wars of weapons of mass destruction. It's going to be wars of polluted aquifers and suitcase-sized nuclear weapons. It's going to be the worst horror that science fiction could make up. And we already see the technology. It's in place. They're using it on us, whether it's drones watching us, surveillance. All of the technology is there to wage a war of weapons of mass destruction. No, it's not an atom bomb with ICBMs. It's not tanks rolling across. It's not jets. It's a different war. And they're taking us to it. The same people that took us to Vietnam, that took us to Iraq, that took us to Afghanistan, and before that, took us to the Korean War, that lost every war, are now taking us to the first great war of the 21st century. The timeline is on time. Go back. The crash of 1929, the Great Depression, currency wars, trade wars, world war, the panic of 08, the Great Depression. It's a you know what the numbers are in Spain. They're about 40% unemployment. They're saying 25. Same in Greece. Same in Portugal. Same in Ireland. And you look around, Italy officially is over 10%. France over 10%. The United States, as John Williams points out, shadow stats, 22%. You can see it. The depression is here. The currency wars are on. And now you're hearing Mittens, Romney, and others talking about trade wars. The next is world war. What are people waiting for?
Man, you're absolutely right. And we've been so close to the problem. The dumbed down sheeple who just want to watch their sitcoms and party, they're starting to wake up a little bit. But we're almost on the opposite end. We've been so close to knowing this by researching history and trying to be informed. Yourself, myself, so many others, Ron Paul, Webster Tarpley, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, that we're almost like the sheeple in a way. But I'm getting chills right now because we've been so close to it, we're almost expecting it and ready for it. But then I have the realization that this is real. I mean, this is really happening. And then you talk about the generals fighting the last war, the Joint Chiefs, even Dempsey, who's a warmonger. This is like three Joint Chiefs of Staff chairmen in a row saying, don't blame us if they go to war. We don't want a war. You got Mossad heads resigning over it. You've got anybody who knows anything, like Colonel Schaefer saying, we don't want this. There's a reason real war fighters who usually love a new war do not want to enter this, because you're right. It's asymmetrical. It's insane. And they also realize it's globalist bankers who want to sit back from their yachts and offshore islands and play the West off against the East so they can consolidate power and get a police state out of it. People realize this is such a hell war that they're creating, and it's got Russia looming. And the white shoe boys who were so arrogant and chutzpah, bravada, hubris filled are probably, I mean, there's a lot of experts, a lot of top brass I've talked to on and off air. They say this could go thermonuclear. I mean, this is going to get out of hand. This is going to make World War II look like a cakewalk. So I hope all the good old boys that talk about glass parking lotting all the Arabs, I hope they're ready for $20 a gallon gas if that happens. I hope they're ready for bioweapons in the streets. I hope they're ready for cities burning when the welfare people riot, because this isn't a game. You know, Homeland Security thinks it's cute. They're running ads about get ready for a zombie apocalypse as an art type of the public. They are, it's like Satan's running this or something, Gerald. I mean, you couldn't come up with a more diabolical geopolitical plan than what these Harvard, Wall Street, scumbag, crazy people have done. Because you know what? I have been freaking out, like Ron Paul says, for years. I knew it was coming. But now it's not over the hill. It's not down the street. It's 6 inches in front of our nose, and it stinks like a pile of dead corpses. And they're telling me it's pumpkin pie. They're telling me it's key lime pie to eat it. I mean, how far does this damn insanity have to go?
And you're right. It's exactly what it is. It's right in front of our noses. You know, I look at these people that are in charge. It's not only what they say, it's who says it. And how can anybody believe them just by looking at them? You know what? I look at these people. It's like they're like an anti-human race. They're not human. They're anti-human. All of their actions, again, they pollute our water. They poison our food. They destroy our minds. They wreak havoc on the earth. This isn't human. They're anti-human. All of their actions are anti-human. You know, they say Obama, you know, he's from Kenya, he's from here. I think this cat's from Galaxy 9. And right behind him is Mittens. And all of them.
Who's even weirder?
I'm telling you, they're doing anti-human deeds. These are not things that conscious people who care about the human race do. You know, you were mentioning about what all of these people and the destruction that they bring us. Think of Dwight D. Eisenhower, 5-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, 2-term president, and a Republican. He tells us that the military-industrial complex is taking over the nation. It will rob us of the genius of our scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. Now think about this, Alex. What was the major war that Eisenhower got us into? How about none? How about it was Eisenhower who ended the Korean War? No, he wasn't like Obama with his sleeves rolled up. Isn't that cat ever work, man? He's always out on the campaign trail. Or Romney, who's been running forever, since 2006 and before. And Eisenhower also said that anyone that seeks the office is either crazy or an egomaniac. And there you have it. You have crazy and egomaniac. You have fraud and fraudster. They're right in front of our eyes.
Max Kaiser has a good analogy, and I remember seeing it in the press at the time. Some of the stockbrokers, because of the crisis of the towers, stocks were going up and down wildly, and they were making millions of dollars in the towers, and they stayed there as the buildings collapsed just to make money. And yeah. and that's what the globalists are doing. I liken them to cancer, and cancer is programmed to take it all, because I was making the point that, you know, to Max Kaiser, that cancer, if it had a consciousness, would think it was winning. It's taken over, it reprograms, nothing can stop it. And it's actually destroying the host. And he said, yeah, it's programmed to take it all. And these people really are cancer. That's why you say they're anti-human. All of us make mistakes. None of us are perfect. But these people actually, well, it's basic criminology. It's like a lot of criminals rob banks, not just for money. It's fun. And for them, it's fun. I mean, I was reading about Hitler and also watching some of the films. He would go out to the fronts, the Russian front and others, and for days he would stay up drinking coffee and eating pastries and taking speed to watch through big telescopes cities being bombed and burning buildings. And he loved World War I. He loved the dead bodies and the rotten dead people in the trenches. They said, man, he was like a fish to water to that. The black uniforms, the skulls. Well, look at our police. Look at the systems we've got. It's all that same black uniforms, ringwraith outfits, evil. And Stalin liked murder and death as well. These people are sick. These people, it's beautiful to them. It's beautiful what they're creating. And they are cancer. These people are cancer.
As I said, they're members of the anti-human race. And when people ask me, when are things going to change? And I keep saying it over and over again. Nothing is going to change until the individual changes. And when enough individuals change, they don't accept this kind of behavior from the people that want to lead them. I've made this very clear. I am not going to vote for president in this election. I refuse to vote for a lesser of two evils. I don't hang out with lesser of two evils. I don't go out with them. I don't do business with them. I'll be damned if I'm going to vote for one to run my life and run my country. And then people say, well, why don't you put a write-in ballot, a vote for so-and-so? No, because then that shows they use the numbers to show that you are promoting their system and you put you down as somebody that voted. I will no longer be a part of this criminality. And to, again, only speaking for myself, you know my motto, think for yourself. I will not be part of this corrupt crime family that they like to call the Republicans and the Democrats.
Well said.
But you're better off calling them the Bananos or the Gambinos.
Absolutely. Tell people where your motto of trendsjournal.com, trendsresearch.com came from. I mean, what would your dad...
What would your dad think today
before he told the story? What was your dad, if your dad was alive today, seeing all this happen, if my grandfather was alive today, seeing what happened, I think they would think they'd woken up on another planet. But what would your dad say about this today?
Well, he would say, you know, I'm glad I'm getting old, and yet I don't have to live in this place anymore because I can see where it's going. When I was a little boy, you know, my mother used to want to get me the hell out of the house. I was such a troublemaker. So on Saturdays, you know, my father would go out for business, take me along with him, and I'd be shooting my mouth off. And he'd look over at me in an Italian. He'd say to me when I'm running my mouth, he'd say, Papagallo, parrot. Stop repeating what everybody else is saying and think for yourself. And I heard that a couple of times, and I respected my father as I did my aunts and uncles and the elders, and I never wanted to make a fool of myself. So before I opened my mouth, number one, I knew I had to know what I was talking about. I had to have the facts. And the second one was, I didn't want to repeat what everybody else was saying because that was the popular thing. You know, and another funny thing, I never rebelled. You know, my generation rebelled. I looked up to my elders. I have a whole wall over here of all my ancestors because I knew that I didn't know and they knew. Did they know everything? No. But everything they knew that they taught me. And that's the difference, by the way, of what's going on now. Young people have no reference point. They don't remember when America used to have, here's an arcane thought, Alex, there used to be a thing called hardware stores. Yeah, before Home Depot, before Lowe's. They were all over the place. It was a thing called an entrepreneur. I love Mittens Romney gets out there and he brags about creating Staples. Oh, wonderful. You put all those stationery stores that used to be in every neighborhood out of business, and now you can take home $62.50 a week after you work in Staples and all your taxes and everything else comes out. People have no reference point when there was style and quality in this country, when we really built magnificent cities that are now going into the dust. And as I say, the only way I see America coming back is by going back.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
So my question to you is, time frames. You've been absolutely, I'm not kissing your butt, it's true, on target with everything you've talked about. You know, they're like, oh, things didn't collapse, Salente. Well, they're saying the collapse we're seeing isn't a collapse. They're playing games. They're messing with the numbers. But now, you said, I guarantee you they're going to do the QE. They've done it. So tell us what's coming next now that it's coming more into focus. And you've obviously got some of the lines a little bit more crisp. Clearly, they're trying to hype up the Arabs with this fake video. Clearly, they've turned Al-Qaeda loose that they put in all these countries. Clearly, they're putting out all these fake bomb threats right now to get the fear going. So, yes, I see the preparatory fear-mongering that I saw before 9/11, that you saw before 9/11. We can see them getting ready. So what does that mean? Staged terror attacks before the election, TSA on the streets rolling out. I know 6 months ago I confirmed nationwide every city had its TSA checkpoint kits and groups set up. They're all waiting. I mean, clearly this has all been premeditated. They've got the hammer risen over us. How do you see it dropping? What tips can you give people once it drops? How bad will it get?
I believe that just as Mario Draghi and the Financial Times reported, they're going to hold this together until the elections financially on the economic end. All of this stimulus won't do anything, as you clearly point out, other than enrich the very rich. That's all it does. It didn't do anything before. Why should it work now? The same thing over in Europe. And you look what's going on in China as well, Brazil. You go around the world, it's all unraveling. I believe they're going to hold the economy together until after the election. And we'll probably start seeing the unwinding happening in around March. I also believe that there's a high probability that we're not going to be thinking about the economy come election day, as the geopolitical trends are now shaping up. This is not going to stop. Look, Terror Tuesdays, where Obama signs off on how many drones they're going to send in to wipe out people. The Afghan war that keeps getting worse. Look at the slaughters. Every day you're seeing slaughters going on through Iraq. Africa is unraveling continually. The strikers in South Africa, Mali unraveling. Oh, by the way, that's happening as a result of the takedown of Gaddafi. Syria turning into a hellish civil war. Libya going in and never having ended the civil war. That ramping up. More destabilization in Europe. So as I see it, I believe that the economic collapse is more likely to happen around March or April, as Max Kaiser points out, but a more of a geopolitical crisis that is going to take people's minds off the minor issues of the presidential reality show.
No, I totally agree, because World War I, World War II, but there's also famous letters from 600, 700 years ago during you know, 30 years, 100-year wars between the French and the British, who were actually the French Norman that had already conquered, and they would write letters. These are in the National Archives in England. You can, people can pull them up. Oh, cousin, I'm having troubles at home. Can we have a war just to get everybody killing each other? But two royal families that are literally, you know, you couldn't even tell the princes apart, kind of like the czars and, you know, the Brits when they were first cousins. You know, the two kings looked identical. That was just 100 years ago or less. Well, and they would just have a war to kill off their young men and give them something to fight with. I mean, this is so sick. So you're right.
We'll be right back with more of this historic interview with Gerald Celente right here on The Alex Jones Show.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
You're listening to the voice of, well, me, Alex Jones. I'm an extremist. I love freedom. I hate tyrants and bullies. And I believe that you should be able to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Again, I admit it, I'm an extremist. And here's another extremist. His name's Gerald Celente. This is part of this marathon airing of an hour-plus interview I did on InfoWars Nightly News that we're now transmitting to you, broadcasting to you worldwide over the radio via GCNlive.com.
As you said a year ago, or it was over a year ago, you said the first great war of the 21st century, that's where this leads. And so once they've pumped everything up, posed as saviors, stolen the money that they claim was to get the economy going, they'll just have a whole bunch of giant wars and some terror attacks and start having TSA grope our wives and children on the side of the highway, and we'll all bow and fetch to them for keeping us safe, and we just march into pure technocratic slavery. And then now they got cybersecurity executive orders. They admit shut down the web. They're talking about shutting off people that don't like them. And I guess they're going to try to come arrest us, Gerald. I mean, I guess that's it.
Yeah, that's why we wrote that. The Spring Trends Journal. All aboard. Next train to Auschwitz. Kiss those calories goodbye. And you know, it wasn't as though the people didn't know what was going on. The people didn't stand up and take action, just like they're not taking it now. You mark my words, Alex. You're going to see El Presidente of Los Estados Unidos. I say that because the joint's turned into a banana republic where the cops arrest a little kid in Pennsylvania yesterday, Philadelphia, a two-year-old kid, 2 years old, for peeing on a lamppost. This is what they do in third world nations. They crack down on the little people. So what you're going to see is when El Presidente hits the stage, like he did when he started the Libyan war, with that, you know, gravitas, is I'm the commander in chief, and this is why we're doing what we have to do. The yellow ribbons come out, the flags go up, everybody salutes, and they go to war. They do it all the time, and they're going to do it again. False flag or real. To me, it's in the cards.
And you can see the preparation for collapse of society. What are solutions to counteract this?
Again, I keep saying this. It goes back to the human spirit. It's what you're doing, what I'm doing, with the people that are working with you and me. The people that are listening to you and to me that want to make a positive difference. You know, I'm up here in Kingston, New York. Uptown, they call it. It's a great little place. All the people, virtually, and I say all of the people are in it with each other. Every shop owner here, every restaurant, everyone wants to see everyone doing well. We have farmers markets. We're all trying to help each other. That's where it begins. And we have to break away from these chains. I keep saying it. Begin with breaking the chains. Like I say, if you think Olive Garden's Italian food, you're out of your mind. Go to your local place. I won't go to a Dunkin' Donuts. I go to Hudson Valley Coffee Shop. I won't go and buy anything I don't have to buy in a chain store that I could buy locally. That doesn't mean I don't buy everything. I have to buy some things. And the other thing, most importantly, it's about getting in touch with yourself. You know, I have this line that I use. I'm alone in this world. I was married for 23 years. I have no children. I'm divorced a long time, too. Everybody I love is dead. No big deal. You just look at life differently. And for me, again, only speaking for myself, to me, hell is taking that last breath of life and knowing that you BS'd yourself and you weren't the person you claim to be. So what I suggest is that everyone look at themselves and saying, is this the way you want to trip out of here? Are you okay with yourself? If not, what can you do to leave this planet on a happy note, a satisfied note, and a note of respect and dignity for yourself? And I believe when more people do that, they won't take the crap from these two-bit politicians and a bunch of suck-up bureaucrats and other psychopaths and sociopaths. They'll demand greatness.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
When I was at Bilderberg this year, and they didn't want us to be able to get around it, they'd gone and harassed everybody and said, don't let them park. They'd gone on our hotel and said, is Alex giving you any problems trying to find something? And I told the cops, you know, shame on you, the head ones, and I had some of the others apologize for it. But the last day, we're trying to walk down a side street on the sidewalk across a little road. It's not marked, you can't walk across it, because it's a red curb if you can't. And we're trying to walk across it, and the cops come and block it and say, we're going to arrest you if you walk across there. And I sat there, and I said, you go ahead and arrest us then. This has been going on for about 10 minutes. And the national media was there. The Guardian wrote about this. And I said, do you want your kids growing up in a country where citizens can't walk across this entrance here to the Marriott on a side street? You know this isn't marked. And I said, it's not illegal for me to walk right across here and go over by the hotel, you know, on the city sidewalk. I said, can I walk? And I said, if you do this, you'll enforce anything that's illegal. And I said, do you want your children to live like this in this country? And he pointed across the street and he said, you see that mobile unit? My boss is watching me on a camera right now and I'll get in trouble. And I said, so you're going to follow orders? You'll do anything to follow orders? And he said, no, fine. Go ahead. You guys can walk across the street. And everybody cheered. And I turned back and I said, that's what we have to fight for in America, is that we can walk on the sidewalk past, you know, over an entrance where you're supposed to be able to walk. And again, it's not like people were even coming in and out of that entrance. It's that's how far we've come. And The Guardian wrote about a victory for liberty, that we could walk across the street. And it just shows how ridiculous this is, that people that work for the system are enforcing their own enslavement. People have got to just start saying, we're not going to be part of this, and start saying no.
Exactly. And it's what I said earlier. When you see an economy in decline like ours, and you see all the numbers coming out, they just came out with some new data that hardly made the news about how many young people born in poverty never make it out. And we're at the bottom of the list of all of the so-called developed nations. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts did a piece recently. He's showing that, no, our median income isn't below 1989 levels. It's below 1967 levels. The gap between the rich and the poor is the widest in the United States. They're not even industrialized nations. Half the people in this country are dying with no money in the bank. This is the behavior of the police in third world and declining nations. Like when you saw what was going on in Egypt and how much they hate the police. That's what happens in declining societies. They hate the police. They'll arrest a two-year-old, give a two-year-old kid's parents a citation. Come on, for the kid peeing, you're going to waste your time. But John the Slime Corzine, who robs segregated accounts like mine of $1.6 billion that, hey, man, I can't find it. I had it here a little while ago. Oh, and by the way, the Attorney General, the Attorney General, who Obama's Attorney General has not brought one Wall Street head to roll. The same firm that I mentioned, the white shoe firm he used to work for, one of the premier white shoe boys firms that is the premier, one of the premier white collar crime criminal lawyer groups. They also represent MF Global.
Oh.
Yes, the one that John Corzine also, you know, brought down.
And the heads of the different SECs and things, they were all work for Goldman Sachs or directly under Corzine. I mean, this is a criminal group, and I guess they're going to take it all the way to the wall. I notice now they're starting little private cities for themselves where we're all chased by drones and combat troops and are slaves, and they're all back to the castles. I mean, they're going back to the castles.
Yeah, that's what's going on. And again, the whole game is rigged. You don't have a shot at making it straight. You know, by the way, when you're going to start seeing crime really, really start to escalate, they say that the fish rots from the head down. And everybody out there sees what's going on. And we're just riffing now about Corzine and all these other guys that get off with no time and all their money. So everybody else sees it. They say, hey, if they're doing it, why shouldn't I? That's the way of the world. You have to be a sucker to play it straight. So now what you're seeing, again, when you add up all the data, as you well know, what is it now, 20% of the children are living in poverty? How many of them are going to get out? Very few. They come from nothing, they have nothing, and they'll do anything to get something. So you can see how this whole cycle of violence and crime keeps building on itself.
Which is legalized slavery because they get the kids for petty things or even being late to class, put them in juvenile hall, they get beat up, they get inducted into a gang. Now they get an education in crime or they become cops and the cycle continues. It's legalized slavery. I got two final points that I want to plug the journal here because it's so invaluable for folks out there. But guns of pot users to be confiscated. Federal court ruled they can do asset forfeiture seizure for any substance abuse, including prescription drugs, alcohol, or marijuana. So now the ATF will decide if you're a substance abuser, no judge, no jury, no 68 Gun Control Act, you're not a felon, and take your guns. So now the pot users are going to have their guns taken. And the magnitude of all of this just absolutely makes your head spin when you realize that they are just trying to bring us to a road warrior level society. Obama said he'd get our guns one way or another. I mean, when is what's your take on that?
Well, the take is very simple. We began this by talking about the economy. I mentioned about how young people have no reference point when there used to be small farms, small businesses, small agriculture, when there were a lot of people that were in the communications business and it wasn't all closed up. It's a takeover. We're talking about the central banks in Europe tying in with the central banks in the United States. Oh, and by the way, that European Supreme Court ruling, again, with those cats in the red hats and those little red robes, they also took power out of the Bundestag, the German government, and transferred it into Brussels. So now you're going to have two major central banks working with each other, the Brussels central banks, and you mentioned Brasso before about how they're going to start taking all the power away from the European nations and centralizing it. So what it is, what it all adds up to, and what we're only talking now about the details, Alex, of fascism, the merger of corporate and state powers. It's been a takeover. The corporations run the game. There was no such thing when I was a young guy of hedge funds and private equity groups owning corporations.
They've put their people in every government. You look at Brazil, you look at African countries, New Zealand, it's always Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan. They've got the regulators, they got the judges. I mean, I've never seen, and I've studied history deeply, in modern history, such a massive unification of crooks who are just literally running the police and everything else. God help us. Gerald Celente, we've got to help ourselves. God helps those that help themselves, as we know. Trust in God, but row away from the rocks. The Bedouin saying, you know, trust in God, but tie up your camel. I mean, I guess, Hunter S. Thompson kind of ripped off that and said, trust in God, pray to God, but row away from the rocks. People need to support PrisonPlanet.tv. They need to subscribe. They need to share their username and passcode with up to 6 people. They need to spread the word by word of mouth because information and awareness and resistance can stop this. And they need to support Oh, the organic farms and the small shops. And I go to secondhand shops for clothes. You can find even better stuff for nothing because it is about the quality. But like getting back to you, the Trends Journal, world class. I mean, I can't learn much from, you know, quite a few people, but I learned something eagerly from that when you were nice enough to send us the PDF of it even before the physical magazine comes out. The weekly alerts, all of it at trendsjournal.com. Tell people, because you never plug yourself, how they can subscribe, how they can sign up, and even if they can hear you here for free coming on once a month or something, hey, support somebody. Because look, it turns out $500 million, and I already knew this, but it was now in the news, of stimulus money went to MSNBC to push their anti-freedom crap, to not hire anybody, but to give bonuses to all those propagandists. They also got another $500 million a few years ago in the bailout of the companies that own NBC. I mean, it's so classic. These are literally paid mercenary mouthpieces in mainstream media. You and I and our operations, we don't have that. And so people need to understand out there watching, out there on the internet, you need to support this information.
Yeah, the more people that support people like you, myself, and others that are putting out the word, the greater the chances are that we're going to move into a more positive future. If they keep putting their money in with the people that are raping them, guess what? They're going to continue to get raped. So the more that comes in, the more we can put out. It's as simple as that. And with the Trends Journal, which our website is trendsjournal.com, you know, we know that people are having a difficult time, and we offer a discount request. There's a little form there. Just fill it out. Nothing personal. We try to make the Trends Journal available to everyone. And the reason we do it is because the purpose of the Trends Journal, it's not about me, it's about you. It's about helping you prepare, helping you survive, helping you thrive so that you could plan for the future. And if you see the future coming, then you know how to navigate it. And I have to say that, you know, we've been around since 32 years, and our track record is second to none. And we're very fearful of what's going to go on in the future, and we need you to help us make a better future and a better present. By the way, I hate these politicians that say, I want to make the world better for our children and our children's children. How about making it better right now? And that's what the Trends Journal's really about, making it better now.
We'll be right back with this amazing interview with Gerald Celente. And we are back, my fellow Liberty lovers, with the final installment, the conclusion of this amazing interview with Gerald Celente.
In closing here, Gerald, we'll let you go because I know you're a busy man. I appreciate the hour you just spent with us. Very gracious. It's very simple. People need to subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv and spread the word, and they need to subscribe to TrendsJournal.com. They need, just like you in your speech said, support your local farmers market and shops, people really better support us because we're facing, you know, possible, you know, prison or being killed. I'm not going to lie here, folks. This is real.
No, it's real. All you have to do is look what's going on around the world. It's going to play near a neighborhood near you. And you, as you well know, who are the first people they eliminate? The intellectuals, the people that are showing what's going on. They hate us because we're exposing the fraud. And as I said, you know, when you're talking about they're evil. To me, man, they're members of the anti-human race. There's a big galaxy out there. Look up into the sky. I don't know where these cats are coming from, but boy, they don't have the heart or soul or anybody that I know. You know, I watched all of the both conventions. Now I have to because of my job. And I could not believe this show that they put on. One lie after another, every cheap applause line you could believe. And then I have to tell you, you know, they put on a great show. It's part Super Bowl halftime and mega church revival meeting. And the sheep will buy it. And so when you see the level of manipulation and weigh that against the emptiness of what they say and all of the broken promises, what do people expect? No one would associate with these kind of people in business or in life or in relationships. Yet we're handing over our lives to them. So yes, you know, yeah, we need the more, again, the more that we get, the more that we could give. I know how much you give. I know how much you're out there. I don't know how much, how hard you work, but I only could imagine because I know how, what I have to do to stay, you know, on top of the news and ahead of the trends. It's nonstop. So the more people that help us, the more it helps everybody.
Well, and I think what we're getting down to it is we're all in this together. I mean, I'll go back 10 years ago, sitting there watching the globalists engage in divide and conquer. And at some levels, you know, not that you even dislike people, but they're taught to dislike you. So you go, well, fine, I dislike you too. I at a very deep level understand now that that is the enemy completely, because that's how the globalists win. Humanity is in this together. The ruling elite are scientifically playing us off against each other. They're cold-blooded. They are malfunctioning. They're screwed-up people. You're right. They're not on team humanity.
No, they're anti-human. They're the anti-human race. Oh, and one more thing. Turn on any TV station. Go to any cable station you want. Where do you see the news like you deliver the news on your TV show? Nowhere, no place, no how.
Well, Gerald Celente, I think this was the most powerful talk we've ever had, and I think that's because we are now coming down the line over in the Middle East, Africa, Latin America, Asia. They're already dying by the millions of starvation every year. 15 million a year adults, about 15 million children, 30 million. They're already being bombed by drones. They're already being, you know, Western governments funding the next group to attack them. They're already living in huts with mosquitoes biting them all day. They're already watching their kids starve to death. And I just feel sorry for all the dumb yuppies out there. Because you have no idea what you're getting ready to face if this goes all the way. Gerald Celente, final comment.
Well, yeah, you really said it, because, you know, when you're seeing what's going on over there, it's going to happen here. You don't have to have a stretch of the imagination to figure it out. You, as we're talking, anybody could go on the computer and do your own homework and add up the embassies that are being attacked. Add up the ones that are being burned. Add up all of the violence going on. It's going to happen here, as I said. And when it does, false flag or real, bam, the hammer's going to come down. The gates are going to go up and freedom is going to be lost. It's going to be the end of the United States of America. It's happening in front of us. This is not a stretch of the imagination. We saw what happened with 9/11. We get a couple of more like that, even smaller. Whoop, the clamps come on, the curtain goes down, and it's going to be hell to live in this country.
Gerald Celente, TrendsResearch.com, TrendsJournal.com. Thank you so much. A very powerful radio broadcast.
Hey, thank you, Alex, for all you're doing.
Well, that's all the time we have for this extensive and informative Gerald Celente interview. We're going to go to break and come back with a two-part investigation into Agenda 21. And let me tell you, since I've sent my researchers and reporters out, it's worse than even I knew. Yeah, you think that Alex Jones knows it all? Think again. We're about to premiere these reports with Aaron Dykes and Melissa Milton when we come back.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Words like violence break the silence, come crashing in.
This is the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Aaron Dykes.
And I'm Melissa Melton. Agenda 21 is not a conspiracy theory. And while it may seem harmless or even helpful on the surface, it is a UN-inspired, banker-funded scheme to institute a global government from the ground up. Right here, right now, our country is being taken over in the name of sustainable development.
Local environmental groups are meeting in towns across America backed by big federal grant money. But behind that, entities like the Rockefeller Foundation, their sustainable community meetings are not only a takeover, but a buy-in to a planned society controlled by a psychopathic elite, all sold with a smile. So to find out more, we decided to investigate some of those local meetings taking place in Texas to find out about the dark deception behind this Agenda 21 scheme.
They had growth on them so quickly and so heavily, they didn't have time to plan.
What is sustainable development?
The conservation of energy resources.
People that live there maybe don't have to drive as much.
Concentrated and balanced growth.
Concentrated and balanced growth.
And the kind of growth you want to see.
To help you achieve the vision.
Higher density mixed-use development in the center of town.
How compact or not is it? Creating this much more interconnected grid.
Growth here is more balanced.
Housing and jobs balance with the stakeholder committee's participation in line with the Sustainable Places Project.
The Housing and Urban Development Department of the United States awarded Sustainable Communities Regional Planning grants to Texas, giving $3.7 million to the Capital Area Council of Governments in a project that spanned Austin, Texas, as well as neighboring rural communities that include Elgin, Lockhart, Hutto, and Dripping Springs. The grant specifies guidelines for energy use and climate change mitigation, as well as the integration of smart housing, nearby job sectors, and integrated transportation systems. The members of the project we spoke with in Elgin were apparently unaware of HUD's related agenda to the larger Agenda 21 program.
Agenda what?
Agenda 21.
What's the number stand for?
21st century.
And what does that mean?
You can look it up on the internet.
Well, I'm not familiar with it at all, so I couldn't comment on that. So I'm not sure what their criteria or their outline is on that.
Respectfully, there is no national treaty that obligates local governments to follow Agenda 21. That just doesn't exist. That's a myth.
We're promoting sustainable, responsible development. But it's nothing to do with the United Nations. I mean, you know, if that's just paranoia. I'm sorry.
In fact, there is an international agenda at work. Austin is a model city for the ICLEI. The NGO partnered with the United Nations to push for local Agenda 21 implementation. In the name of sustainability, they've taken on some of the most ambitious carbon cuts in the entire nation and are a model for energy conservation and zero waste. And unelected regional boards are drawing the rest of Central Texas into this international scheme, all in the name of sustainability. Among other groups, Smart Growth America and the ICLEI Local Governments for Sustainability USA Group specifically congratulated the cities and towns receiving these HUD grants for sustainable communities and regional planning. So it is absurd to claim that there is no international agenda interacting with these local communities as they attempt to implement sustainable development goals.
Well, I know a lot about Agenda 21, and I don't have any concerns because I don't think this... I don't think this project is driven by the international community or even by the national community. I think it's driven by Elgin, Texas.
Except it's been implemented nationally under treaty and these grants are coming from the federal level. I think it's really dishonest not to admit there's an Agenda 21 motive.
Sustainability is just about letting local communities decide for themselves.
We had heard so much about what Agenda 21 wasn't, we decided to interview a professor that teaches it. This is Dean Almy, an associate professor and director of graduate programs in urban design and landscape architecture at the University of Texas.
Now in Texas, Texas Triangle is one of the 10 identified mega regions of the United States. And the projections, which were pretty much just confirmed by the recent census data that was released, are that populations in the Texas Triangle will double in the next 20 to 30 years. And one of the big problems, of course, is that it starts to create new towns, new communities, but are they really communities? Are they really towns when they're all sort of evolving in a really short time?
He teaches Agenda 21 courses at the university.
So the course I teach, which I call Agenda 21, really deals with the question of sustainable urbanism. How do we begin to sort of build the city more sustainably moving forward?
What is Agenda 21, kind of a brief overview, and why you feel that it's an important plan?
Well, it was a resolution of the United Nations, where a number of countries got together, ostensibly in Rio, also called the Rio Declaration. to begin to look at the way in which humans were occupying the world, the state of the world, the state of civilization in the world, how we were using resources, whether the consumption of resources and global development was being achieved ecologically and equitably.
And when recently asked about the UN's plan by a San Antonio-based news station, he was quoted as saying, "It's changing the status quo of how we operate as a country that is developing, and so it's threatening to some people. Urban design by its nature is about the collective good and isn't necessarily about the freedom of any one person to do whatever the hell they want."
So I was going to ask you if you wanted to talk about that quote a little bit.
Well, I mean, already, you know, if we're looking for code words, okay, so already in that quote is the term collective, which, you know, a conspiracy theorist could somehow associate with, you know, I don't know, the Soviet Union. Right? And that's not
communism.
That's not the intent. You know, collective just means us together as a society. So I kind of stand behind that, actually. Cities are not individual constructs built by single people. Cities are collective constructs where we all live together, and we have to balance the needs of individuals and the needs of collective society. And cities, by their very nature, would be very difficult to construct and manage and develop if they were all sort of politically anarchic.
Agenda 21 Sustainable Development Visioning meetings rely on the Delphi technique, a manipulation tactic wherein a facilitator ensures a public forum goes as planned with a predetermined outcome already decided upon by those who ultimately called the meeting. The Delphi technique was created by the Rand Corporation in the 1950s for the U.S. Department of Defense to use as a psychological weapon during the Cold War. While community feedback is encouraged, the final outcome is driven by leading questions and preset answers. Notice in this presentation how your participation automatically equals acceptance. These same exact strategies were outlined in detail in the local Agenda 21 handbook. We saw this at both sustainable development meetings we attended. No matter what answer a community member chose, it all fed into the Agenda 21 plan already underway. The project planners admitted they weren't working with a blank slate, but were instead following a plan already mapped out by so-called stakeholders.
What we want to be really clear about is that we're not starting from sort of an empty slate. Your community has done a lot of work in setting in place lots of plans and policies like the comprehensive plan.
We're planners. We've been involved in projects mostly in central Austin and around that area. We worked on the Miller redevelopment for many years, and we're still working on it. The downtown Austin plan. We're working on several master plan communities around the region. A lot of focus on urban infill and redevelopment.
Jen, have you ever heard of Agenda 21?
Yes, but just recently.
Is this a part of that plan?
No.
Is it affiliated in any way?
No.
The reason I ask is because you use a lot of the same terminology, visioning workshops and sustainable development, and a lot of that falls under that plan, and I just didn't know.
Well, that is very traditional planning talk from the last probably 30 years. So we always talk about, you know, having a vision. What is the general big picture vision?
But there's a larger agenda going on. I mean, this is a regional development. It didn't start here in Elgin. These proposals didn't originate here in Elgin. They're being done in other cities.
I think these proposals did originate here in Elgin.
Why are all these plans springing up all at once at the same exact time, all over the country, all over every city, though? It's not a coordinated effort.
Well, I don't want to be contentious with you. I would just say that I think that's a myth. They're not springing up all over the country. In this whole region, there's four cities looking at it.
In fact, these sustainable communities were popping up in nearly every major metro area across the country, all funded by HUD. And these sustainable communities are pursuing the international agenda under President Obama's Partnership for Sustainable Communities, joining together the policies and regulations of Housing and Urban Development, the Department of Traffic, and the EPA.
I actually went to my first sustainable development meeting last week. They received a federal grant from Obama's Partnership for Sustainable Communities, and they seem to use a lot of the same language in Agenda 21. I didn't know if you knew about those sustainable meetings that have been happening around here and if those are somehow connected.
Well, there are a number of layers of sustainability, I mean, almost to the point where the term itself is sort of overused. But here at the School of Architecture, we have a Center for Sustainable Development, which does get grants from foundations, sometimes from federal government, usually from philanthropic foundations. And they are a clearinghouse for a whole series of different initiatives.
Texas has been faced with so-called smart growth proposals for well over a decade now. For years, bureaucrats in the Texas area laughed in the faces of activists, even as they gave passionate speeches defying the implementation of toll roads and other unnecessary infrastructure already owned by the state of Texas and its citizens. Instead, unelected regional boards like Campo moved the measures forward as best they could, while insiders who amounted to little more than thieves skimmed off the top and made millions off of secret deals. And yet we see some of the same regional players pushing for further development in the name of sustainability.
The Central Texas Vision for Growth was directed by CAPCOG, Trust for Public Land, and Envision Central Texas. These entities, in turn, are shaped and steered by countless environmental groups controlled and funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, George Soros, and Ted Turner, among others. Their alignment with Agenda 21 is well documented. Sustainable development was coined by the United Nations to mask a covert takeover at the local level. Land conservation and smart growth planning have been used to subsidize insiders, allowing development to be hijacked while the system picks winners and losers, reaping the profits at our expense.
Everything in green is the protected area. So you see there's not really much protected areas 15 years ago. 2 years ago, this is the work that we did. All this land was purchased by cities or by the city of Austin or the county, and we use our funds and our political clout to encourage the city to purchase these lands for protection.
Has any of that been developed on?
Yes. So this does not mean there's no development. What it means is that the development is done in a sustainable and ecologically friendly way.
By implementing Agenda 21, it's a local implementation. It's from the bottom up kind of thing. That by putting all these regulations environmentally and putting them on the urban areas that, you know, are usually the economic centers for cities, that you're sort of picking winners and losers in a way, because you're saying that only people who will adhere to these things are allowed to develop. And so there's kind of a bigger agenda there with that. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I would turn it around a little bit, and I would say, I don't know that we're picking winners or losers. This is not a kind of environmental nepotism that's going on. I mean, but I think it's a mistake to think that rules don't already exist everywhere.
The United Nations has made its anti-private property stance abundantly clear. Quote, land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth and therefore contributes to social injustice. The provision of decent dwellings and healthy conditions for the people can only be achieved if land is used in the interest of society as a whole.
First of all, we have to believe that humans need to live kind of symbiotically with the earth, that we're not here to dominate the earth. You know, when the United States was founded and many of the original sort of authors and thinkers who wrote about, you know, society in the U.S. and people like Thoreau, for example, there was a sort of idea that the U.S. was this great wilderness, that we could just go out and sort of settle the wilderness and be pioneers and live on our own and be independent. I don't think it's like that anymore. I mean, there's very little wilderness left in the United States.
Sustainable development is the philosophy designed to bring human beings across the globe under the full control of a narrow human elite.
It's a 40-chapter document to basically control the world. It's based entirely on socialist control mechanisms.
Sustainable developers have designed a global movement coordinated through a global to local action plan to create world government in accordance with certain objectives. An end to national sovereignty, the abolition of private property, the restructure of the family unit, and increasing limitations and restrictions on mobility and individual opportunity.
Professor Almy admitted plans to restrict travel were ecologically necessary, and his contempt for the family and Western civilization was thinly veiled.
You know, the suburbs bring with them their own kind of tyranny, right? One is public space is almost non-existent in terms of real public space. There's lots of lawn, right? But real collective public space. There's the tyranny, I would argue, of, you know, the nuclear family, and not that that's tyranny in itself, it's not, but the wife having to drive their kids to everything. Having to drop your kids off at school, having to pick your kids up at school, having to drive them to Little League, everything is about one member of a family having to basically play a support role while another member works. And everything is sort of geared that way, and it's actually quite expensive. You know, so things like the automobile and the amount of infrastructure that families use to economically to support living in an environment dominated by patterns that are automobile dependent is a big problem.
This is an Agenda 21 map that claims that that is what, if Agenda 21 was fully implemented, the United States would look like. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I haven't seen this map before.
And this is something that opponents have said is the ultimate plan of Agenda 21. I didn't know if you had heard of this map or seen it before.
I haven't seen the map before, but I know where some of the principles behind the map come from. It's trying to kind of suggest that if we were to develop networks of water, networks of plant habitat, networks of animal habitat, networks of human habitat, how would these networks begin to interact? What areas would need to be preserved from development?
There is a pretty great fear of this. I found a lot out there.
You bet.
This plan. And that it really will somehow end property rights, people's personal property rights, that it will end national sovereignty eventually and give it up to a whole global entity now that will kind of take control over everything. And that's kind of the general consensus.
You know what will end national sovereignty faster than some fictitious conspiracy based on a United Nations declaration? Major ecological catastrophe. You know? And you know, to be honest, in my opinion, I think one has to come to terms with the fact that such things as global warming exist. If you don't believe global warming exists, or if you believe that man is on this planet to dominate the world, then you don't care about these things.
It should be noted that the professor admitted to democratic socialist leanings once the cameras were off, and that his father worked for the CIA, as evidenced by a paperweight he displayed on his desk during the interview. While he talked in circles on many concepts and seemed to contend that he knew what was best for humanity, he refused to acknowledge any nefarious motives behind Agenda 21.
Most of the people here in Elgin don't know or care what Agenda 21 is. I don't care what Agenda 21's agenda is.
Think about it. These local planners are trying to concentrate smart growth in small towns of barely 15,000 people in the second largest state in the nation, encompassing hundreds of miles of empty land. In fact, experts have even come forward to say that the world's entire population of 7 billion could fit here in Texas comfortably with no problem. It doesn't make any sense. But make no mistake, what does make sense is that these local sustainable development meetings are nothing more than a green mask trying to hide a global takeover in plain sight.
Takeover doesn't even begin to explain it. There really are no words for this level of evil and greed. These are just front groups we've analyzed in the video today. But when you look at the real players behind them, the bankers, the people with connections to families like the Rockefellers, you begin to understand the true corruption the real nature of evil, where mega wealth aligns with an agenda to destroy humanity and control our future for their gain. For the InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Aaron Dykes.
And I'm Melissa Mell.
I'm Melissa Melton, reporting for InfoWars.com. As Agenda 21, the United Nations plan to take control of the world from the local level up, grows across America under the guise of the Green Movement, our national sovereignty, our personal freedom, and our very way of life is under attack.
What is Agenda 21 for new listeners? Why is it important? And what are the new big developments? I mean, is it safe to say the battle is joined right now, Rosa?
For people who don't know what Agenda 21 is, it's not what is Agenda 21, it's almost what isn't. It is the blueprint. It is the action plan to inventory and control all land, all water, all plants, all minerals, all construction, all animals, all means of production, all energy, all information, and all human beings in the world. It is a completely comprehensive plan. It's global, and it's implemented locally.
Agenda 21 highlights include the destruction of the family unit in the name of sustainable development, with people being forced to live in tight, compact cities and high-rise stack 'em and pack 'em apartments no bigger than this 16 by 16 foot space. I decided to ask people what they thought about the UN's plan to get people on the grid. So, would you live in a house no bigger than the size of this square?
It feels like a jail cell. No way.
I mean, it's impossible.
Well, you know, it depends on what my options would be. If this was the only option, I'm sure it would be living under a bridge.
You need one at least twice this size. Yeah, three times this big, really. Yeah, I've lived in one about this size, and it was like being an animal in a box or something.
Would you do it for the good of the earth?
Yes, I would.
Have you ever heard of Agenda 21?
I haven't.
No.
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 Agenda 21 is a plan we've been signed on to with the United Nations where we'd give up our property rights and freedom and be forced to live in apartments no bigger than this square. What do you think about that?
I think that's terrible. It sounds kind of like Chinese foreign policy or interior policy regarding their house and how they're controlling all aspects of your life.
I don't think it sounds fair.
This map, entitled Simulated Reserve and Corridor System to Protect Biodiversity, illustrates how the UN's Agenda 21 plan would work in the United States. Under this takeover, all personal property rights would cease to exist. The red zones, which make up the map's majority, will be mandated for little to no human use. The yellow zones are buffer zones for highly regulated use. Only in the scant green areas is any normal human use allowed. The tiny black dots are the dense megacities, where transportation will be tightly controlled, freedom will be restricted, and people will be packed in like sardines, living in tiny 275 square foot units amounting to little more than jail cells, all in the name of saving the earth.
Let's move right along now to Agenda 21 micro apartment scheme being beta tested in New York City. Yeah, they passed a law last year, 2011, in Germany, saying that all new homes by 2020 could not be single parent. You've got to live in these big dormitories. And now Bloomberg, who wants to control what you eat and what you do and ban your guns, says these studios and one-bedroom apartments, they're like closets, will be no bigger than 275 to 300 square feet. That's called a tiny supermax cell. These tiny living spaces are smaller than currently allowed by building regulations. And they say this is good for the earth. See, they can raise more taxes. They'll charge you more for a 200-square-foot cell than for a 1,000-foot. This is how this works. More for less. The eugenics, Agenda 21, post-industrial slave model.
They're actually already beta testing these micro apartments in New York City and San Francisco. Have you heard of that?
I haven't. I'm afraid not.
I think we need to support abandoning this idea.
Well, it's not going to happen if they're dealing with humans, because no one's going to bow down and say, yes, we are living in this. Not everybody's going to do it.
Yeah.
But
as Agenda 21 creeps across the country, more and more people will be forced to face it. While sustainable development may sound like a beneficial idea, is giving up all of our liberty in the name of the greater good really such a good idea? I'm Melissa Melton, reporting for InfoWars Nightly News.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
It is Thursday, the 20th day of September 2012. I am your host, Alex Jones. And in the last hour, wow, a power-packed, informative report by Aaron Dykes, Melissa Melton, Dan Bedondi also contributed, along with John Bound, who shot camera, with a professor interview. But she goes out and in that final report and draws in chalk on the sidewalk the size of the building you're going to be mandated, the home you're going to be forced to live in, while the elite are exempt and live in giant palaces off all the labor and wealth they've sucked out of you. And some of the trendies in Austin, where I live, Austin, Texas, said, oh, yes, I think I should give up my property. I should live in a cage for the earth. I mean, it's so sad. And then after they turn their cameras off at that professor's office at UT, he's like, do you see my UN sign? Or do you see my CIA sign? I am connected to the CIA. I am powerful, basically. And then he went on to say, I'm a democratic socialist. Yeah. And he said on the video, collectivism, and, you know, we're going to, he's got quotes out there online in his different articles saying that, well, this isn't about the individual, it's about the collective. Yes, and the bean counting, controlling guilds that are up there. You're people that couldn't win in a free market, people that couldn't win with a widget or a book or an idea or a film. It's about you getting together with a gang, taking over and telling us how we're going to live our lives. And you know what? You can go straight to hell, as far as I'm concerned. You parasites have always tried to take over society. And no matter how many computers and robots and spies and checkpoints you've got, you're going to fail. You're always able to wreck societies and take over with your bloated control freakism. But in the final equation, you collapse. And you will fail. I'll quote Thomas Jefferson, I have sworn on the altar of God eternal resistance over every form of tyranny. Every form of tyranny over the mind of men. And I will not sit here and put up with your crap anymore. Excuse me, but just hearing and seeing stuff like that makes me want to throw up. But you want hardcore, groundbreaking reportage on Agenda 21 from every different angle. You just heard three reports combined in the last hour. I'm going to make sure all three of those together on the same page. We'll call it Agenda 21 blown wide open. How's that sound? We will get that up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. It's already at PrisonPlanet.tv. And we want you to get it and email it and talk to people and show it to your neighbors and get it out to everybody. Because we will expose these foreign banks. That's who runs it. Bain Capital's involved, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan. All of them. You're like, well, I won't vote for Romney then if Bain Capital's involved. They've given double the money to Obama. They own all the puppets. The point is that they are involved in a bureaucratic corporate takeover, and they hope you're too busy watching TV and Dancing with the Stars and NFL to care. And the choice is up to you. Don't say you weren't warned. Don't say we weren't here warning you. Don't say you didn't have a chance to say no to this. As you're listening on this September 20th, 2012 transmission. The ball's in your court. It's that simple. It's up to you what you do. It's up to you if you're going to resist these people. You've got the tools. And by the way, they're panicked. They've been in the Washington Post, the New York Times, going, everyone's waking up to Agenda 21 and the UN treaty. We'll just call them conspiracy theorists. Here are the talking points to deal with them. Then we go to these events or go to professors who are like, well, it is Agenda 21 by the UN, but all it is zoning and planning. I mean, yeah, by you for a collectivist control freak system. So that's why I stand against this as hardcore as I can. And that's why I'm so blessed to be here on the radio talking to you. And I want to thank all of you for standing against this tyranny as well. All right, more straight ahead here. When we come back, we're going to get into a very important report, Full Spectrum Evil. Then, should Ron Paul run for Texas governor? And then food, the ultimate secret. Stay with us and spread the word.
defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Alex Jones here to cover a topic, an issue that is one of the most important I've ever discussed. This information is very closely held by governments and elite corporations. They do not want you understanding this. Now, many of you that are already aware of this, it'll seem simple, but large swaths of the global population have no idea the real geopolitical paradigm that we're living in today. Today, we will look at the real forces, the real players in the battle for 21st century global hegemony. I'm going to break down who really rules the world, how they control the planet, and how they are trying to usher in a world war that is really pointed at the general population. To begin my illustration, I have three different board games here. Chess, the classic game of Risk, as well as Monopoly. And we're going to look at these systems of stylized warfare. And between these three systems, we find the truth of the system that we're living under. How do we know that system? Well, books written by people like Carol Quigley at Georgetown, Bill Clinton's mentor. They think we're stupid, and so we have their own documents. To begin with, I'm going to use a Lego chess set as an illustration to break down primitive forms of government warfare and domination. If you look at this set, you notice there are two sides. There is the red and there is the green, or there is the black, there is the white. From the beginnings of civilization more than 6,000 years ago until about 1700, this was the model of warfare between nations. There were occasional alliances, but by and large, warfare and politics was carried out in a very two-dimensional way, like a chess set. You have the ruling class, the royalty, the priest class, the military elite, the generals, and in front of them, you have basically their conscripts or the lower class fighters who can also represent just the general population. And these two groups are engaged in warfare and base domination against each other to control larger areas of land and the vassal populations living in serfdom upon it. One area that we see from the ancient chess model that is still used in statecraft by the globalist is the fact that sometimes wars were launched, in the case of the French and the British, against each other when they had rebellions at home. They soon learned it was a way to turn inner anger at the state against a foreign state and to reduce the population of young males that you didn't have jobs for. The two-sided fight is a bygone era. In truth, for more than 300 years, the globalists have been financing multiple sides of wars, knowing that conflict destroys nations and gets countries deep into debt. And that is the key. They're financing both sides. And we see this being pioneered by people like the Rothschilds, starting in the 1700s and 1800s, where they would finance sometimes three or four different factions, and it didn't matter who won because all of them were in debt to them and had societies that were wrecked after the wars. Next, let's look at the game of Risk. These are primitive attempts to distill down human conflict and domination into a game you can play in a few hours. The militaries all have basically equal resources, equal numbers of troops, and to enter into the equation some type of random probability, we have dice and we have cards. There is no discussion here on looking at the real model that we are under today. We're going to come back to Risk here in a moment, but first let's move to the game of Monopoly. In the game of Monopoly, you have different economic groups or four players that attempt to engage in economic warfare against each other and then be able to create a monopoly or a single entity that is in control of New York City. To understand the real system we're under, it's important to combine Monopoly and Risk with an overlay of strategy from chess. And this is a key part of the real system we live under today. The founder of the Rockefeller dynasty famously said that competition was a sin, and they wanted big governments that they financed and control to be able to shut down their competition and pick winners and losers. This is the essence of monopoly capitalism, the opposite of free market, and is simply a form of fascism, what Mussolini called corporatism. So out of these three board games, monopoly best describes our modern system. But it itself is only two-dimensional. You see, the private Federal Reserve that's owned by six private banks, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Bank of America, and others, they always win. You're playing their game. You think you're battling it out for houses and apartments and for Park Place and for the electric company and for the railroad and for the top hat and for the fashion show. But it's the bankers that control the politicians. They've got the get out of jail free card, and they've got control of the money. The treasury works for them. So the bank always wins. But what happens if a country won't sell? What happens if an African nation won't play the monopoly game? Or what happens if a Middle Eastern country doesn't want to be part of the modern bankster system based in London and New York? Well, then that's where risk comes in, because they want to be able to take you over through economic espionage, as John Perkins has written in his bestseller, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. But if they can't, this is in all the official CIA and State Department documents, they will then come and finance your neighbor to attack you. So Libya's not playing ball. It's building up and industrializing all of Africa. You want a global monopoly. You just play countries off against each other. You're a globalist. You've made yourselves exempt with diplomatic immunity at the United Nations. Who set that up? The robber barons. What do? You just have Al-Qaeda come out of Egypt into Libya, ethnically cleanse, blow up most of the infrastructure, knock out Gaddafi, and now they have to come to you and borrow money out of your bank to rebuild, and you own and control everything. And guess what? If you want to get that welfare check, well, you got to take the vaccines, which, by the way, sterilize you. So they're using the strategy of chess, but they're employing it through a monopolistic system where they have a monopoly on the issuance of currency and credit. And they also have the biggest militaries on earth, from the United States and Europe, controlled and dominated 100% by them. They've announced that we're totally their slaves. And they have such disdain for us, they use our supposed enemy, Al-Qaeda, against the Russians, against the Serbs, and now against other Middle Eastern nations, while simultaneously telling us we need military-style occupation within our countries by the TSA and the military to keep us safe from Al-Qaeda, who they sponsored and created. And remember, the banksters are openly crowing and bragging that they have conquered you through monopoly capitalism.
The question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
To answer your question, we are absolutely slaves to central banks.
And they weren't able to do this because they had better products. They were able to do it because they created, through fractional reserve banking here in the U.S. and similar systems worldwide, unlimited free credit for themselves, which they then loan out to you at interest. But that wasn't enough of a fraud for them. In the last 20 years, they've deployed derivatives, completely made up counterfeit instruments to the tune of more than 1.5 quadrillion. That's 1,500 trillion. With that counterfeit money, they were able to buy up all of their competition, pay off the governments, and dominate defense industries as well as media to carry out their propaganda. And herein lies the big secret that they don't want you to know, the big secret hiding in plain view. We think about nations and continents and cultures, but in truth, the globalists, the bankers, who have unlimited money, They're waging war against anyone else that has any assets because they want everyone to be impoverished, so you have to go to them, and so that you have to follow all of their orders so they can control human development and society. In the past, they would brag about their real political system in fictional accounts, in movies like Network. Let's analyze a clip of that.
There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. One vast and ecumenical holding company for whom all men will work to serve a common profit, in which all men will hold a share of stock.
Oh, there are no more peoples. There are no more nations, Mr. Beale. Each one of us has one piece of stock in the global system, one ecumenical giant global government. Except one thing, that big global corporate system they've been selling us on doesn't want us to even be alive. It's designed to consolidate control and then slowly cut off the resources while the banksters themselves pose as the saviors, selling people on getting deeper into the tyranny and the pain will stop. When at the end of the tunnel is nothing but global extermination and eugenics so that these selfish, greedy scam artists can have the world and all of the incredible technology and life extension for themselves. And that's the big secret here. You have been warned. I'm Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com. The ball is in your court. The rest is up to you. Please get this presentation out to everyone you know. We've got to understand the enemy we're facing if we have any chance of defeating these people. Humanity hangs in the balance.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives, even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream, and the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
While chants of President Paul have long been silenced, the congressman's supporters may still have an unexpected opportunity to get Ron Paul elected to high office. That's because in 2014, the seat for Texas governor will be open. While a spokesperson for the congressman has stated to InfoWars that the doctor is not interested in the position, many activists can argue that a large-scale grassroots effort promoting this idea could prompt them to reconsider. Current Texas Governor Rick Perry has stated he does intend to seek re-election, despite the fact he has already held this position for 12 years, and a recent Dallas Morning News poll shows a majority of Texans don't think he should run again. I recently asked visitors at the Texas Capitol building in Austin what they thought of this possibility.
Do you think Ron Paul should run for governor of Texas?
Yes.
Why?
I think he's a good politician. He gives the rights to the people, not as much government interference, which is something I'd prefer. He's also a very confident politician, very experienced, and I believe he'd do a great job.
Do you think he has a shot of winning?
Possibly, if he gets his message out there and really conveys to the people that he is the best in interest in his mind is Texans.
I think he should. Yeah, I mean, he seems like a guy that might actually do a little bit better than Rick Perry. He seems to be a little bit more caring for people and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Do you think Ron Paul would have a shot of winning, a realistic shot of winning?
Not really.
Do you think Ron Paul should run for governor of Texas?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Why not?
I don't care for him too much. I just don't care for his policies and some of the things he stands for.
Do you think he could win if he ran?
Probably not. It's hard to tell, but I don't think so. But a lot of people don't care for some of his issues, but I mean, some he has that are good, but the underlying things I really don't care for.
I don't think so, because he doesn't really have any experience in governing.
Do you think he could win if he ran for governor of Texas?
I don't think so.
Why not?
He's too much of an individual and not part of the machine. You have to be part of the machine here in order to win.
If Ron Paul were to win the election, he would be 79 years old on election day. While some may argue that his elder age would be viewed as a negative to his campaign, it is important to note that he would have been serving as a public servant at this age had he won the presidency. Advocates can also argue that a statewide campaign would be far less taxing on the congressman and his family than a national campaign, and that he can choose to serve for just one term. In a recent blog posted by former Paul spokesman Doug Weed, he states that he does not rule out the possibility that Dr. Paul will run for public office again. However, he was referring to a presidential run. A recent University of Texas poll shows that most state residents are happy with the direction the state is currently going in. The survey also shows that while the economy is the most important issue for most Americans, illegal immigration and border security are the two most important issues for Texans. Residents I spoke to, however, would want Dr. Paul to address another issue if he were to win.
I've been reading a few articles about people that are wrongly convicted, and to me, that's kind of disheartening because, I don't know anybody personally that was in that situation, but from hearing their stories and stuff like that, you know, it kind of devastates their family.
I'd like to see any governor or any candidate for governor address the death penalty and speak about abolishing it again. It's very unjust.
Always fighting on behalf of liberty. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Don't tread on me. That's one of the slogans that founded this country. But now you're told, go along to get along, bow down, lick the hand that feeds you. May your chains sit lightly upon you. Thank you for joining us, my friends, as we enter the final stretch. Two more segments here. We've been airing some of the most important reports that we've done over the years, but also some of the new reports we've been breaking and premiering here today, dealing with Agenda 21 and UN tyranny, the collectivist socialist takeover of our society. But I wanted to put out a report that we did over 2 years ago that's been watched millions and millions of times online, and it's Food, the Ultimate Secret. You see, there have been different groups of bureaucrats and ruling classes that figured out that humans have a limited lifespan and that, well, if you don't teach people the lessons of history early on, you can enslave them. But Americans especially tended to be pretty uppity and pretty aggressive, and so we've been hard to domesticate. And television did a pretty good job, and you know, pushing illegal drugs and legal drugs on us has helped as well to get us under their control. But the biggest thing is food and water. The aspartame, the MSG, the fluoride with an electron missing to make it even more toxic, turning it into an acid. The hundreds and hundreds of chemicals. I mean, I remember 5 years ago, I heard on the radio driving along, I think it was Coast to Coast AM, in the news portion reporting that chicken McNuggets, not just at McDonald's, but other companies, had silicone in it. I thought, that can't be true. So I got home and Googled it. Now I start page it, startpage.com. And there it was, the admission that it was silicone. And then I saw the Associated Press, you can look this up, when it came out that melamine, plastic, was causing organ failure in China. They were executing people that were involved. When it was found in our formula and things, they said, oh, don't worry, melamine's not bad for you. People are dying from that. So basically, you come into the hospital and they don't check for what killed you. If you were poisoned by some big company or some product, they just let you die and just call it something else. So this is a big deal. And they think you're stupid. They think they can poison you and you won't notice or resist. I hope that you will investigate and find out this Holocaust is going on. Here it is, Food, the Ultimate Secret. My friends, the information that you are about to witness from all of my years of research is the most important. It's been hidden in plain view the entire time. This is the ultimate secret, and it's about to be exposed. I have hundreds of government documents, textbooks, white papers, where for over 80 years, the elite of the Western world have talked about adulterating food and water to sicken and sterilize the population for the purpose of eugenics. It's all covered in the book Ecoscience, written by the White House science czar John P. Holdren, where they talk about a planetary police state to carry out the forced sterilization. They also talk about covert systems in the water and food to sterilize the population. Now, this was written decades ago, before he was White House science czar. Now, suddenly, the stuff in this book is all over the news. They're selling it to the public as if it's a good thing. You see here before you what an average person would buy when they went shopping at the store. Not everything here is bad for you, but much of it has compounds and artificial chemicals that have been added that are extremely toxic and bad for your health. And they have known this the entire time, and they have approved them for use. Let's start with aspartame. You cannot go to the grocery store now and buy any type of even regular sugar gum that hasn't had aspartame added to it. In the 1970s, Searle tried to get it approved, and they couldn't. It took them three separate times. Because in their own studies with monkeys, large portions of them that were fed it died and contracted cancer. Now we have mainstream news articles, and the EU has done a major study finding lower birth weights, early birth, and yes, miscarriages from women that drink aspartame-laden soft drinks like Coke Zero. What is aspartame? It is the fecal matter of the E. coli bacteria. They took it and genetically engineered it. They can feed it toxic waste, and then it defecates aspartame. And it has so many bad health effects, it's just unspeakable. This is being done by design. It's also very, very addictive. But let's just go ahead and move away from aspartame and talk about McDonald's and chicken McNuggets. Now, I remember a decade ago or so reading health advisories claiming that a form of plastic that's used in silly putty, basically a type of silicone, was in the chicken McNuggets, but also in many other TV dinners and other foods. It is illegal in every other nation in the world to add these chemicals to the food, but it's not in the United States. The big secret is all of this was done by design by the FDA. Look at all the drugs they've approved, and then it comes out later that they knowingly approve them when these drugs are causing heart attacks and cancer. In the Nuremberg trials, it came out that the Nazis were adding sodium fluoride to the water supply in the labor camps and death camps to make the population more docile and controllable. There had been hundreds of university studies before Hitler even came to power. This is a form of forced medication. They admit that one part per million of sodium fluoride more than doubles the chance of bone cancer in boys and men. As the public became educated in the last few decades, the government industry's response was to not just put it in water, but to start adding it to thousands of products like children's water that's mixed with their formula or with their cereal. They started adding as much as 900 parts per million in things like powdered eggs.
It causes reductions in IQ. It increases sterility or lack of fertility. And it's being added to so many of the daily staples that we consume. We'll get back to food additives in a moment. But first, I wanted to look at genetically modified organisms. Did you know for many years the American people have been eating clone beef and pork, and now they're expanding out into other forms of meat? Let's look at salmon first. Major university studies conclusively have proven that the type of genetically modified salmon that is actually a cross species, they've mixed other animal genes in with it, that when this fish is introduced with wild natural salmon, within 40 generations, all the natural salmon are extinct. And the FDA approved this. And they're going to allow it to be released into the wild that isn't even a salmon. It is a cross species chimera. It is a mixture like something out of the Island of Dr. Maru, something out of a nightmare. More than 85% of the corn now consumed in the United States, and it's also starting to trend that way in Europe and Canada, is genetically engineered. It grows its own pesticide within the corn kernels so that insects won't eat it. If the insects can't eat this and live, what do you think is going to happen when lab rats or humans eat it? We have literally hundreds of studies showing that not just Monsanto's, but other major GMO companies' corn, that's the majority of corn we're now eating today in the United States, has been linked to organ failure in lab animals. The studies also show massive increases in sterility in rats and guinea pigs that are fed not just GMO corn, but GMO cotton seeds. Studies in India, Germany, and the United States have conclusively shown that when they feed the cotton seeds left over from the cotton crop from these genetically modified varieties, that the cows are having miscarriages, they are having low birth weights, or in many cases, they're simply dying. And what is in most processed foods? Genetically modified cottonseed oil. Major studies are also showing that genetically engineered crops are killing honeybees and monarch butterflies. But they don't stop there. Now they claim they're coming out with a genetically engineered mosquito that's malaria-proof that they're going to release into the open biosphere. The very genetic code of the planet is being butchered in a hostile corporate takeover. Many years ago, an executive from Monsanto was quoted in National Geographic as saying that that is their program, that they want to basically have their crops and their organisms take over the entire biosphere of this planet. And the major genetic engineer companies have focused mainly on 8 major food crops. Now they're expanding out into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other plants, literally changing the genetic code of the planet. This is a genetic dictatorship. This is genetic vandalism. And that's why the Rockefellers, the United Nations, and others have built these giant armored seed vaults all over the world, not just at the Arctic Circle. And they admit they're doing it in case all of this gets out of hand, that they'll have a type of no Noah's Ark. So all these fake environmental groups, they never complain about this. They never talk about true environmental degradation. They want to put a tax on carbon dioxide that humans exhale, that plants respirate from and carry out photosynthesis with, as a way to shut down industrial society and control every facet of our lives. That's the big secret. This is a population reduction program. It is an epidemic. The sperm count has dropped in the Western world exponentially. Even the government has been predicting within another generation, almost everyone is going to be sterile. This is the globalist religion. This is their philosophy. They want the planet for themselves. The UN has said that their stated plan is an 80% population reduction. You've heard Ted Turner call us useless eaters and feeders and say that 80% of us need to be killed. You've heard Prince Philip say he wants to come back as a virus to kill the majority of the world population. Dr. Eric Pianca, Peter Singer, it's all over the news where they tell us that we should only have one child because more than one is bad for the environment. environment and that the recession is good for lowering our carbon footprint. This is the big secret. We live in a scientific dictatorship, and the United States and England are the epicenter of this, and it's expanding worldwide. Remember all the secret testing, all the secret sterilization that went on in the United States and Europe. Remember what Hitler did. He learned all of that from the eugenicist and the Rockefeller family in the United States. This is a culture of death being pushed on you and your family. And even if you think the world is overpopulated, you need to understand that you're being targeted by this as well. Targeted by design. Recombinant bovine growth hormone in your milk, making 8-year-old girls go into puberty when they should be going into puberty at 12 or 13. Silicone in chicken McNuggets and hundreds of other processed foods. Aspartame, that is the feces of genetically engineered bacteria that has incredible health problems that have been proven. Think for yourself. It goes on and on. ABC News, this goes back 4 years ago. Viral meat spray, advancing food safety. They spray a live virus on the meat to supposedly kill the bacteria. This is a live vaccine they spray on most of the meat you're consuming that you're buying from the store. It gets even worse. The petroleum distillates, or toxic waste that's left over from petroleum refineries that refine oil into gasoline, they take these tens of millions of pounds of toxic waste that's left over, the fluoride, the mercury, the lead, and they dump it on crops as supposed fertilizer. And what do crops like tomatoes and corn and potatoes do? They pull in all of those toxins out of the ground. In fact, scientists for many years have used plants to actually detoxify areas that have been contaminated. And those plants are pulling all of this up, and then you are eating it. That's why the Washington Post reported in January of 2008 that a major study found that nearly a third of the 55 popular brand name foods and beverage products were filled with mercury. Despite the fact that the people of Europe for over 20 years have fought off all the genetically modified wheat and corn and other crops being planted in their nation, now the EU is buckled and is accepting it. The United States is literally a testing ground for all of this. It's just automatically approved. And the people that work for these corporations, they're compartmentalized. They don't know what's going on. The people that work at these stores, they have no idea what's happening. This is affecting all of us. This is hurting everyone. Many different forms of cancer are growing by thousands of percentage points. Diabetes, all these different diseases. And in major studies, it's all been linked to the toxic additives that are in our food, our water. And I haven't even had time to get into MSG. I mean, I've interviewed brain surgeons, neurologists, scientists. I mean, it just devastates the brain. It's an excitotoxin. It destroys the liver. And it is in tens of thousands of products. We can say no. We can stand up. But if you've got a neighbor giving fluoride water to their baby, please go over and warn them. If you got a neighbor that's sitting there eating MSG-filled chips, one after the other, warn them. You've got a responsibility. If you know people that are feeding processed foods filled with GMO, warn them. And for God's sakes, don't give it to your own children. If you want to kill yourself, that's your own business. But don't hurt your children. Don't do this, ladies and gentlemen. In closing, I want to talk about some positive things. Just 15 years ago or so, you couldn't find organic food anywhere on store shelves. And now, about half of what you see is organic. Just a few years ago, all the milk had the growth hormone in it. Now it's hard to find milk that has the growth hormone in it because the consumers have spoken and said no. A few years ago, you couldn't find toothpaste that didn't have sodium fluoride in it. Now Tom's of Maine is starting to take over the aisle space and displace the other mainline toothpaste makers, where it says on the back, if you swallow this, call poison control immediately. Even Colgate is now putting out fluoride-free toothpaste. People are demanding that they not be poisoned, and they're finding out about what's going on. And so industry is starting to respond and at least give people who want a choice an option to not be forcibly medicated through the food and the water. You know cigarettes are bad for you, but just 20 years ago, the cigarette makers were getting up before Congress and saying it was a conspiracy theory that it was killing people. And then later it came out in their internal documents, they knew it was deadly. Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen the studies. Much of what they're putting in our food and water is far worse than even cigarettes, as bad as they are, one of the biggest killers in this country. This is a covert, soft kill operation. We'll put a lot of links beneath this video so you can check out the facts for yourself. And I'm just begging you to do your own research and find out that one of the most dangerous places in the world is your grocery store and the tap water in your house.
Front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
Food, the ultimate secret revealed. Now, a lot of you already know this information, but we've presented it with the documents, with the mainstream news articles, with images of what is in these different foods and what's being put in your water. And we show images of the large packages of fluoride that says deadly poison on it that's being put in your water supply. Everyone needs to see this because the general public is not aware of just how serious this is. It's not just that, oh, junk food's bad for you or too much fluoride's bad for you. This is being put in there by design. We have the government white papers and corporate and university and UN documents. We cover it in my film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. This is the major issue. And here's Fox News. Maryland bans chemical BPA. And it goes on to say that it's for only babies. Well, fluoride hurts children and babies, the studies show, a lot more than it hurts adults. But you don't hear that being banned. No, they push it on children. In fact, we have government documents that Aaron showed me last night that I intend to do a piece on next week, where they're actually at many public schools in England and the U.S. have fluoride systems hooked up, not making it one part per million, but four parts per million. And, you know, they come into the schools with those little red fluoride pills. I remember when that would happen to me in first and second grade. I would take it and then get sick and have a headache and be throwing up by the time my mom picked me up after school. And no one ever put two and two together. And the teachers and dentists think they're helping you, but this is an IQ reduction. Fluoride also attacks and sterilizes you. Fox News goes on. Meanwhile, Berlin-based urologist Professor Frank Sommer told the London Daily Telegraph on Tuesday that men could ingest enough BPA from its use in receipts alone. It's commonly used as the black ink to suppress male hormones in the body and reduce fertility or even sterilize you. That's Fox News. Here is the Baltimore Sun. Senate passes BPA ban in bottles, cups for small children. There's no reason. This has been chosen and adopted because it's meant to sterilize you. Now, continuing, if you just search the term food irradiation, you'll learn the EPA approved this in the last decade, and they're irradiating beef, poultry, fish, produce, and it destroys the food value. It breaks the ring structures in the food, and it's basically dead food you're now eating, and it loses most of its nutritional value. That's another issue that we didn't even get into in this piece. And the list just goes on and on and on. There are hundreds of petrochemical distillates, the leftovers of oil refining, that are put as, quote, flavor enhancers and things to preserve food as preservatives that are highly toxic. And that's that processed food taste that you become accustomed to. But once you've stopped eating a lot of processed food, it tastes like crud. I remember when I was a kid eating processed food going, what's that kind of dirty taste, that spicy, toxic taste that you eat in processed foods? Well, it's things like the chemical in silly putty. And that's not Alex Jones saying that. That's CNN admitting, oh, silly putty plastic chemical. A type of silicone is in all these different processed foods, these different TV dinners, Chicken McNuggets, Taco Bell shells. What came out a few years ago about Taco Bell? They had on their store shelves what they were selling people at the fast food restaurant, the Starlink corn that wasn't even approved for humans, and they had to recall it because the violent reactions people had were so bad they couldn't cover it up. And the government approves it. These corporations are advised to use it. It's cheap, and they do. Please investigate this for yourself and get that video and get it out to everyone today. It is so important that we warn everyone. We can beat these people if we do it together.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.